October 18th, Jesus says, the secret of the soul that does not want to lose its love, God, must be, I have already spoken to you thereof, to remain ever fixed upon God, with the faculties of its soul. Whatever you do, manage to keep your spirits fixed upon me. In this way you will sanctify every action of yours, making it pleasing to God and supernaturally useful for you. Everything is prayer for the one who is able to remain in God, for union is nothing but love, and love transforms even the humblest actions of human life into acts of adoration agreeable to the Lord. I tell you in truth that, between those remaining many hours in church, to repeat words from which their souls are absent, and those remaining in their homes, in their offices, in their businesses, and at their jobs, loving me and their neighbor for my sake, remaining united to me, the latter pray, and are blessed by me, while the former do nothing but perform a hypocritical practice which I condemn and disdain. When the soul has been able to reach this loving knowledge of succeeding, in remaining fixed in me with its faculties, it produces continual acts of love. Even in material sleep it loves me, for the flesh falls asleep, and awakens with my name and the thought of me present, and while the body rests, the soul goes on loving. Oh, the holy marriage of the soul with its God! A spiritual tie which the human eye does not see, but, if it could see it, it would see a circle of fire surrounding God and the creature, and as God's rejoicing increases, the creature's glory increases, a holy circle which in heaven, will be a nimbus on your glorified brows. The soul, obstructed as it is in the flesh, sometimes undergoes the weariness of the flesh as a recoil. The temptations of Satan, more or less serious faults, I am not speaking about mortal sin, which violently separates the soul from its God, but about the slighter sins which, no matter how slight, result in spiritual fatigue, disappointments, sorrows, and life events, along with other causes, provoke weariness in the souls of those who are less formed in the life of the spirit. But you must react to it. It is like one of those physical languors which precede the consumption of the flesh. Woe if it is not combated at the outset. But woe three times over, if the languors of the spirit are not combated which lead to spiritual somnolence, and, slowly to the death of the soul. God does not love the lazy, he does not love those who prefer their comforts to the good Lord. God punishes those who grow lukewarm. He withdraws. Your good God calls you to awaken, asks you to receive him, shows himself to be concerned in having sought you out, and requests your hearts to take refuge therein. Why, don't you realize, that the most beautiful tabernacle for your Lord is your heart? The good Lord tries everything to bring you out of spiritual slumber and spiritual laziness. He sometimes even tries to force open the mystical gates of the heart, and seeks to enter. He then withdraws, because he resorts to violence only rarely. He always leaves you free, even if leaving you free is painful for him, because he sees that you use freedom badly. Sometimes, indeed, almost always, the soul notices the coming of its God, feels his attempt at entering, and, since the soul remembers it has been created by God, it feels itself starting with sweetness. You oppress the soul, you do not follow it in its desires, but it is averse to dying in you. It is the last to die, it dies after the mind has died, and the heart has died of pride and lust. It dies only when you kill it, by taking away from it light, love, and life that is, God. But until it has died, it starts with joy and beats with love when God approaches it. Woe to those who do not want to second these movements of the soul. They are like patients who, by continual acts of imprudence and disobedience to the doctor, aggravate their illness more and more until making it fatal. When your souls dissolve with sweetness, because they feel God beyond their gates, second your soul's motion. Leave all concern for the flesh, set this proud flesh of yours on its knees, recognize the rights of the queen enclosed in you, of the queen who wants to follow her king, and adore the benignity of the king, who has come to you to love your souls, which you kept imprisoned, who has come to love you, and give you the pledge of salvation for this flesh of yours as well, which you are so concerned about, but for which you are unable to do anything really useful. God wants your flesh too, to shine with light and supernatural, eternal beauty at the final resurrection. To shine for the holy works done in earthly life, for the works done, while following the impulses of the soul moved by God. If you knew what a great grace every coming of God love is, if you understood, you would say in every instant, Come, Lord Jesus, come to guide my soul, be my King and my Master. If you knew, you would mark every encounter, every coming, among the fortunate days of your life as men. And in truth no event is so glad as the one, when I enter with my love into your hearts, to save and lead you, beyond life, to true, eternal, and blessed life. When by your carelessness you have let your master pass by afflicted over your spiritual inertia, when remorse, the cry of conscience which is never completely silent, even in the most depraved, awakens your souls, which you have dazed in lukewarmness and material concern, be prompt in applying a remedy. Seek God at once. Consider that without God one wanders over ways of death until perishing forever. Consider too, that God is merciful, and has a charitable heart for you. He immediately hears your cry which calls him, and even if for your punishment he remains hidden for some time, he is not far away. You do not see him, but he is already close to you with his heart as a father who forgives the wayward son, and longs to clasp him to his heart. Seek God at once. Get by the guards patrolling the traps the enemy spaces out along the way, to keep a soul from escaping from them to take refuge in God. Go ahead and let Satan, envious and cruel, strip you out of vengeance. It is better for you to enter eternal life stripped of humanity, but rich in spiritual wealth alone, than accompanied to the threshold of God by affections, honors, and earthly joys, to be cast out, because you have already had everything, and do not deserve anything else, having preferred to have this everything which falls, and drags you along in falling, to the only thing necessary to have. The coin to enter eternal life, accumulated with labors, efforts, spiritual patience, holy petioles gleaned hour by hour, by obeying my law out of love for me, mystical pearls obtained with pain suffered out of love, eternal rubies created by your wanting, to be my children over against the voices of carnal nature, the acts of mockery and revenge of the world, and the seductions and wrath of Satan wanted, by overcoming oneself and the enemies of oneself, whether men or demons, wanted by crushing the flesh, provided the spirit wanting, to follow God's will is made to triumph, wanted to the point of sweating living blood, as I did in the face of the strongest temptation, the strongest fear, and the strongest divine will which man could possibly endure. If you knew what a no of yours is, when spoken to the forces of the flesh, of the affections, of wealth, and of honors, in order to be faithful to the one who loves you. If you knew what it is to be ready to let even dear things be taken away from oneself so, as to be God's entirely. Certain forms of despoliation, endured with resignation, if not with rejoicing, for one can rejoice even over health immolated for God's purposes, but one cannot rejoice over a tomb closing upon a father, a mother, a spouse, a son, a brother. I was man among men too, and remember what it is, not to hear a beloved voice any longer, not to see a house animated by a relative, and to behold the dwelling of a friend devoid of his presence. Certain forms of despoliation endured with resignation, have the value of a martyrdom, Maria, remember this. They have this value, as does the martyrdom of a life offered for the coming of my kingdom into hearts, of the fevers and illnesses endured, so that the fevers of souls, and the illnesses of spirits will ebb. And both forms of martyrdom will receive the reward for martyrdom. The purple stole of those who have come to me by way of a great tribulation, a procession of fire which will follow the Lamb together with the white procession of the virgins, the latter at my right, the former at my left, for these heroes of the Spirit, are truly the children of my heart, rent by a martyrdom of love, as the others are those born of Mary who most resemble the mother, and the son of the mother, they are the ones who lived in the role of men with the sentiments of angels beyond flesh and blood. With every means of yours, with holy boldness, seek the Lord. Seek him to make amends for former laziness. And once he has been found, never separate yourselves from him. In him is the good, that does not die. In him is life and truth. If you remain in him, you shall not perish. If you live in him, you shall not die, you shall not know errors. Like a boat safely entering the port, because its pilot knew how to steer it, you, guided by Christ, shall enter the port of peace. I, who do not lie, tell you so. Never deny me, children whom I love. Be faithful to me, and I will give you glory.